the battle. And he won. What battle did he fight? To give us life eternally, right? That's what we're going to talk about tonight. Good news. Good news. Each of us have worn masks at one time or another. I know I have. Wear masks. You wear masks to hide filters, to hide how we really feel. We put up walls. We don't know why we feel the way we feel. We're good one moment, and then all of a sudden, boom. What happened? Why do I feel the way I feel? Why am I angry? And we can't put our finger on it. Well, I have good news for tonight. So, Father God, I thank you for this time we gathered in your name. And yes, Lord, I do pray for Pastor Shane again, that you would touch his head and that you would clear it out and make him whole again, Father. And we thank you and praise you for that. And Lord, I was told that Judy Powers needs a little touch from you as well. So touch her. And Lord, I'm sure there's others. There's lots in our body and outside our body in the community, Lord, that just need a touch tonight. And I just praise you for that. And I give you all the glory for what you're going to do. Bless this time in your word, Lord, and give us ears to hear. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. And we'll be careful to give you all the glory, all the praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. So each of us have worn masks at one time or another, probably because we felt the sting of either rejection or insecurity or even feel insignificant, like I'm not important. Anyone been there, felt that way? I certainly have. This was not how God created us to live in the beginning. Did you know that? And I wanted to kind of go back to Genesis and kind of give you a little foundation. I've had so many people ask me about, what would it be like to be in the garden? And how come we have what fights and things that we have to endure now, even when I've asked the Lord in my heart, why aren't things better? Good question, right? Do you know the answer? Anybody? Exactly. So both Adam and Eve were created in the image of God in Genesis 1, 26 and 27. And this is what it says. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. There's a lot of people who don't believe that. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Amen. Yes, so let's go on. God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. And that's in Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God formed man right there, and he became a living being. That's how we were created. That's how you were created. Did you know that? I wanted us to understand where our basics are here. Back to the basics. And also, when Adam was created by God, he was alive in two ways. Okay, this is Adam. First, he was alive physically. His soul was in union with his physical body. Okay, and the second thing is that he was alive spiritually. His soul was in union with God. Okay, catch that, because we're going to come back to that. When God created Eve as a companion for Adam, her soul was also in union with her body and also in union with God back in the garden. So there really wasn't any conflict because their soul, their physical, everything was in with the Lord. Amen? Can you get that visual? Okay. Being intimately connected to God gave Adam and Eve purpose and meaning in life. Adam and Eve both knew that they were, number one, significant. We're looking for searching for significance. Significant, what I mean by that is that Adam and Eve did not have to search for anything meaning in their life. It was provided, everything. They already knew why they had been created. Their divine purpose for being on earth was to rule over the beasts of the field and the fish of the sea. We just read about it. The second thing that they had was safe. They felt safe. Adam and Eve had absolutely everything they needed. And in fact, neither had any concept of what it meant to need anything. They were safe and secure in God's presence. And by the way, every day he would come and visit with them. That's awesome. I think that's awesome. And then the third thing is they were accepted. Adam and Eve were in perfect communion with God. Both had a sense of belonging to Him as well as to each other. They were naked and not ashamed. And after all, they had nothing to hide. Even their intimate relationship with each other was pure in the presence of God because urges were in harmony with God's will, as was all of nature. So it was just peaceful, that whole thing. Then I say all that to say this. Just pause for a minute, okay? And let's just kind of do a little imaginary here, okay? Adam and Eve's daily life before the fall, I just explained that's kind of how it was. Every day it was just peaceful. How would it have been different from your daily life if we'd been there? What would you do daily differently than what we're doing today? Probably a lot, huh? See the contrast? I just wanted you to think about that. How peaceful and how significant and safe and accepted they were, and they felt safe. And honestly, today I stayed the weekend with my grandkids and niece and nephews, and they feel, you can just sense that they worry. People are worried, and what's going on in our world today? It's definitely not this, what I just read about, right? And so then happens this. Imagine the consequence of the fall. We talk about the fall. What's the fall? It's when the enemy came in and tempted Eve, and then Eve fed to Adam, and the consequence of the fall. When Adam and Eve gave in to the temptation to eat from the one tree from which they had been forbidden to eat, their sin had far-reaching results. The first result would be spiritual death. While Adam and Eve didn't die physically right after eating that forbidden tree, they did die spiritually. In Genesis 2, you can read about it. As a consequence, every descendant of Adam is born into this world physically alive but spiritually dead. What do I mean by that? If we go to Romans 5:12, it says that therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. So because of Adam's sin, it's just come down into generations. So when a child is born, they're automatically born with a sin nature. Okay? And I don't hear significant, safe, and accepted in that scripture at all, what they had then. 1 Corinthians 15:21 and 22 says, "For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ," right there it says, "all shall be made alive." And we sang about He's our deliverer tonight. And that's what that verse is talking about. Jesus Christ is our deliverer. In Him we are overcomers. In Him He gave us back our life. When we're born, our physical being is connected, but our spiritual is not connected to God as it was at the beginning. And so through Christ, we're back to being spiritual connected. You probably already knew that, but some people don't. You'd be surprised how many people, we assume, know that, but really don't. They don't realize it. And they don't understand why they feel the way they feel. Why do we have so many people in our society with mental issues and things like that? If it really was a peaceful time, why would people be having issues? And this is why, spiritual death. Jesus came to remove the separation that Adam caused by being disobedient. Okay? Before coming to Christ, we have neither the presence of God in our lives nor the knowledge of His ways. From birth, we live independently of God, separated from Him. When we accept Christ, we become alive in Him and our souls are united with God. Oh, thanks. That's awesome. And so then the second thing, not only is there spiritual, but now it's mental. Our mental has come upon. Back then they had peace and weren't worried about anything and things like that. Before the fall, Adam had no need to search for what life is all about because God told him, "You're over all of the beasts and things, and to multiply and just enjoy life and fellowship with me." So when the wisdom of God was no longer with Adam and Eve, they hopelessly struggled to find their identity, their purpose, and the meaning for their lives apart from their Creator. Did you read in there about how every day the Lord would come and sup with them, visit with them, sit with them, visit? But the day that they disobeyed Him and What did they do? They hid. Where did that come from? Because they had no sense of that until after they took that bite or whatever caused them to fall. Exactly. Thank you. Exactly. That's it. The fact that Adam was deficient in his understanding became evident when he tried to hide from an omnipresent God. He knew God could know everything. And so that's in Genesis 3, 7, 8, for those of you who are taking notes. Paul described Adam's descendants as being darkened in their understanding in Ephesians 4:18. Being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. Ephesians 4:18. Before accepting Christ, we also are darkened in our understanding because we do not have the life of Christ within us. Paul also wrote that the natural person who is spiritually dead cannot discern the things of God because such things are spiritually discerned. That's in 1 Corinthians 2:14. In such a state, we can know about God, but we can't really know him until we establish a relationship with him through Jesus Christ. And that's where the religious spirit comes in, because people believe and know about God. Even the devil knows about God. But until you have that real relationship with the Lord and you actually walk and talk with the Lord and read his word and learn the word and who you are in him, you don't understand. And until you're filled with the Holy Spirit, our comforter, our guide, our teacher, God has made all that provision through his son, Jesus Christ, our deliverer. In him we're overcomers. Amen? So these are just kind of like little nuggets to help you understand that. So when you meet someone and they say, well, I don't believe in that, you can show them scripture. You were created in his image. These scriptures are important. God's word will never come back void. What that means is that if you pray God's word believing, God's word will go and do what God's word will do. Whether you believe it or not, it will happen. God's word is infallible. Amen? Amen. I'm glad too. Okay, and then so then there's spiritual death. There's the mental depravity because you can't understand things because of the fall of Adam. And now there's the emotional depravity. Emotions. Where did that come from? They started to feel fear and anxiety or be anxious. Have you ever felt that? Just come upon you, fear or anxious? Yeah. The first emotion expressed by Adam was in Genesis chapter 3, verse 10, when he said, I was afraid. How did he learn the lingo? Again, it comes back to the knowledge of good and evil. He realized, oops, I messed up. And so now God had to do a whole bunch of things to make it up. We'll get to that. So they felt fear, and they also were anxious. The first emotion, of course, was in Genesis 3:10, when he said, I was afraid. Many times throughout the Bible, the phrase, do not fear, is there. Did you know that someone did a Bible, I think it was little Kathy. She found 365 plus verses that say, do not fear or be not afraid or something about that in the Bible. I think God really wants us to not be afraid. And we are overcomers and victors through the blood of Jesus. Amen? Amen. So just to trust our... Okay. So today, did you know this is interesting? Today, anxiety disorders are the number one mental health problem in the world. At one time, it was drugs and alcohol, and now it's mental things. Maybe the drugs had something to do with that. But this is just the sin of man, all this coming in. So they felt fear and anxious. Another thing that came from the fall is that they felt guilty and ashamed. And I can relate to these, so can you. Before the fall, Adam and Eve had only one bad choice they could make, to eat from that forbidden tree. Other than that, they could make no bad choices. After the fall, they were bombarded with choices, both good and bad. Overwhelmed, they became depressed and angry. Today, depression is the common cold of a mental illness. And despite modern technology and advances, the whole world continues to experience that anxiety. Because it's just an open forum. We've allowed all this stuff. And then the third one is they felt powerless. Adam and Eve had the power of God within them, which allowed them to be and do all that he created them to be in the garden. After they sinned, they had to rely on their own strengths and resources. And as a result, they tried to control their own destiny apart from God. And the power they desperately sought failed them. Right? Do you think we need a deliverer? They definitely needed a deliverer. And God knew that. And God loved them so much that he, even at that point when they took that bite, I believe in my heart that he already started the plan of salvation for us down eternity with his son, Jesus Christ. Because that's how much our God loves us. Amen? So they felt powerless. And then they felt rejected. Have you ever felt rejected? The loss of their relationship with God resulted in a crushing sense of rejection for Adam and Eve and their descendants, which we are. Trying to gain the acceptance of others through appearances, trying to gain the acceptance of others through performances, and social status has proven to be elusive. The word elusive means that it's not achievable. It's difficult to find. You can't achieve it. There is no way we can humanly give or receive unconditional love and acceptance. The best of human effort eventually results in person's rejection or criticizing you. And so it's impossible to do anything in our own strength. We need Christ's strength. We need to be in his strength, right? It's not by power, it's not by might, but it's by his spirit, saith the Lord. Amen. Amen. We continue to struggle with these mental and emotional issues because we are not living as God designed us to live. And there's this little, I got this off of a book I was reading. It says that we are like cars without gas, trying to travel down the road. No matter how good the car looks on the outside, it cannot fulfill its purpose without gas or fuel or diesel or whatever. Human effort through appearances, human effort through performance, human effort through social status cannot recapture what Adam and Eve lost or gave away when they disobeyed the Lord. And neither can we. Only Jesus came to give us life. Now's the good stuff, okay? The only possible answer is to restore our relationship is with God, to reconnect our spirit with God's spirit and be alive again spiritually. How do you do that? How do you do that? Of course, it's something that we can't do on our own. We've established that. And this is why God sent Jesus, through Jesus, to undo the works and who had deceived Eve, resulting in the sin that separated her and Adam from God. And this is the good part. Jesus was like the first man, Adam, in that they both were physical. Do you guys have that? Anyway, Jesus was like the first man, Adam, in that he was both physically and spiritually alive. But unlike Adam, Jesus never sinned. Does that make sense? So Jesus was our deliverer. Jesus was the one who came and took the stuff that Adam messed up away and made it right through Jesus. He modeled for us how a spiritually alive person can live in this fallen world so long as that life is lived dependent on the Father, on God. Jesus gave us more than an example, however. He came to give us life, not only life, but more life abundantly. That's in John 10:10. I love that scripture. So Jesus was like the first man, Adam, in that he was both physically and spiritually alive, just like Adam was at the beginning. He was physically and he was spiritually in line with the Lord. Jesus was. So Jesus was our deliverer. Jesus was the unspotted lamb, and he took on all man's sin. And he took on everything that Adam and Eve surrendered over to the enemy. He took it back. And he also took back the keys to hell and the grave. Death. Grave, death, same thing. Some people, what do they say? Hell, death, and the grave, whatever. Anyway. And so because of that, Jesus gave us more than an example. He came to give us life. And not only life, but life abundantly. Look up what the word abundantly means. We should be King's kids. So why aren't we? Why aren't we? Why aren't we doing that? The Gospel of John records this. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. John 1:4. Notice, think about this, okay? Notice that light does not produce life. Light does not produce life. It's the other way around. Life produces the light. And the light is inside of us. And who's the light? Jesus, right? Rather, spiritual life is the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the resurrection in John 11:25. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. What that's saying is that even our spiritual is alive when we ask the Lord into our hearts. And what that's saying is that because of him being in us, even though we may die and perish, our spiritual being will live forever, for eternity. That's what that means. When you die, it says that when we die, we're present with the Lord. Absent from this body means present with the Lord. That's what it's talking about. Our spiritual being is alive with the Lord again, with God. Did you know that? You do now. And that's a good thing. That's the good news. It really is. It's good news. I'm probably not saying it right, but it really is. Simply put, believers will continue to live spiritually even when they die physically. And that's a whole nother story. If you want to learn about that, come to Revelation class, because we're talking about the end times. We're talking about the rapture. We're talking about all the great things that's coming. Even though there's bad stuff, there's good stuff coming too. And it's exciting. What Adam lost was life. And what Jesus came to give us is life, which means that our soul is again in union with God the Father. The moment we are born again, our spirit is reconnected to God's spirit, and his spirit testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. Romans 8:16. If you highlight or underline in your Bible, Romans 8:16 is a good one. The moment we receive Christ, we are given the right to be called children of God. And that's in John 1:12. So we are children of God. And the thing that I wanted to share tonight and that I feel that just needs to be said is this. How do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as you see yourself, or do you see yourself as God sees you? Because we're King's kids. We're children of the Most High God. We are a peculiar person. And we've been called out of darkness into light. And we're to take our light into the world and share him with people. And that's the whole idea. Having the life of Christ within us is what makes possible the restoration of what Adam and Eve lost in the fall of man. And our struggles to establish our identity, really, and our struggles to be accepted, and our struggles to be secure, and our significance that we're all looking for should all be met in Christ. Because that's the only one, that's the only way that we're going to have, it's the only way that we're going to have peace. It's the only way that we're going to make it through the end times. Is only through Jesus Christ and him alone. He's the only way. And it breaks my heart because there's a lot of people who confess to know God up here. And it's like what Pastor Shane says. They're going to miss heaven by 18 inches. That's head knowledge, but not a relationship with them. Not really letting him have full control of our whole life like Adam and Eve had in the garden. I yearn for that. And some, I'm told, I'm believing, I don't know, doesn't matter. God's word's going to come to pass whether I believe it or not, or you. God's word. I believe that there's going to be a come a time and a day where we're going to go back to the way God wanted it to be in the beginning. Am I right, Mike? Restored. Completely restored. No quiver. No nothing. Balance. Life. Eternal life. Can you just imagine that for a moment, how that will be? Can't imagine it. Can't. And I know that because I watched a 3-year-old, and a little child has naughtiness in them, but they also have a lot of love, and they just are innocent, like a child, innocent love. And this little girl loved to take her clothes off all the time, and it didn't matter. She had no fear. She had no anxiety, nothing. She was just there, happy, free. And I kind of see that that's how God wants us to be, just free, happy, free. But we're not. We take everything, and like I'm chasing her around trying to get her pants on and her dress and all. And the sooner I get it on, the next thing I see, it's off again. That I really believe in my heart. God showed me that this weekend. That's my children. I want my children to feel like that. He wants us to feel free, but we're not free. Why is that? We should be. We should be free. If you have Jesus Christ in your heart and you confess with your mouth, you should not be under the circumstances. We should be over the circumstances. We should be free. Why aren't we? We're intimidated. Why is that? And afraid to share what we have, the answer, with others. Why? Because they'll be mad at us or make fun of us or whatever. But if you start to realize what we've learned in the Thursday morning is that God sees us different than we see ourselves. And he... Huh? Well, yeah. There's a difference between... There's a difference between being intimidated and being humbled. And so we're to be humbled and love the fruit of the Spirit. You all know that. But not to be like a religious spirit, like it's my way. Yeah, haughty spirit, religious spirit. No. We're to be led by the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit really is the Spirit of Christ. And it's living in us. We are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And so there's so many things about that. But I just wanted to bring out the very beginning so that if you ever wondered, well, really, what was it like in the garden versus what we're doing now? And we can have that. I told you. If you totally, 100%, we're real easy about accepting the Lord in our lives for our salvation, which is our whole life, basically. But it's another thing to take the word and believe for all of your finances and to believe that God has all your children and that God has everything, my whole being. I put it all in his hands. And that's where we should be all the time. But we don't. We take it back. Just like my little three-year-old. She loves the Lord with all her heart because she has no idea that there's sin out there. She's so pure. But once those things start to become in her life, I wish that I could just take her and say, listen, you can have this all the time. You can have that peace that passes all understanding. All these scriptures that are here. Many new believers and those who struggle in their walk with God may find it difficult to believe what I'm saying tonight. And they do. They don't. It's hard to believe that the God of the universe actually would send his son actually to take away all this stuff actually and give us life. And that's just, it's crazy. But it's true. And it's going to come to fruition whether you believe it or not, because God's word's infallible. And regardless of how we feel or whether or not we fully understand it, you either believe this infallible living word of God or you don't. It doesn't matter. The word will never fade or fail. It is truth, and it can and it will set us free if you let it. It will come to pass. And the other thing in closing here, it is important right now to know that as a Christian, we are accepted by God because what Christ has already done for us. You have to tell yourself that and believe it. Just talking about it, knowing the word, until you absolutely believe it in your heart and absolutely experience the walk of grace and mercy in your life and totally, totally dependent upon the Lord, you'll always have the fear of whatever. Put in there whatever it is you're battling right now, because I'm sure that we all have those. And it's so important right now to know that as Christians, we're accepted by God, because what Christ has already done for us. That's the truth. And that's the good news. We are secure in Christ regardless of what we're going through. He's given us all the tools to go through. He's given us everything we need, and we are significant because we're in Christ Jesus. Amen? So begin to discover what your purpose of being here on this earth is, because that's another question that people ask me. Well, why am I here? I bet you've even asked that. I have. Lord, why am I here? Why am I right here at this moment? I don't understand. Well, it's not for us to understand. It's just for us to listen and do and be and trust and obey, right? Because God has something for each one of us. He doesn't make junk. He makes you specifically and created each one of us in His image to perform and to do whatever that destiny is that He wants you to do. And He's given you all the things that you need for that destiny. And I've been working on a sermon, and maybe I can do it on Sunday. It's got some, I won't stay here. There's so much to it. But did you know that God's given each one of us treasures? He's given you treasure, and you don't even know you have that treasure because you haven't found it yet. Or you have that treasure and you're afraid to use it. Or you had that treasure and it's been hidden, or you lost it. And so we need to find that treasure that God's given us and use it for His glory. And even the little tiny things that we feel, oh, I can't do that. Or I wish I was more like her than I could. Or, you know, we're never satisfied. But He's given us a treasure, and it may not be important or look good to the world, but that little treasure can do mighty things if you put it in the hands of God. And so my life is little in the world. How many people? Billions. I can't even put, if you put billion pennies in this, maybe it would be out there too. I don't know. Probably we'd all be under it. I don't know. Billion pennies is a lot of pennies, right? Yeah. And so I'm one little penny in the world. But my little penny is important to God. Is yours? Yeah. So what did Jesus come to give us? Yes, eternal life. You're right. So I just want to encourage you to just take the scriptures and start reading them and learn who you are in Christ, because you're an overcomer. You've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. You have a glorious testimony. And this isn't in my notes, but I feel like it's for someone here. The very thing that you're afraid to give to the Lord, the very thing that you hold on to so tight, the very thing that's keeping you from 100% jumping into the Lord, if you will surrender that to Him, He'll give you better. He'll give you better. Because that's just the way that He is. He's wanting us to just trust Him. Amen? Amen. So I encourage you tonight to read the Word. And I have homework because I like that. These are verses. I love the scriptures. I am a gold nugget person. I love the Word of God. My words have no meaning. God's Word has lots of meaning. My words fall to the floor. His did not. And you cannot ever, ever, ever lose by praying God's Word for your family, by praying God's Word for anything, because God's Word will not come back void. It will come back and accomplish that. May not be the way you want, but it is God's Word. Amen? And these are scriptures. And if you'll look these verses up, who you are in Christ, I challenge you. You will look differently at who you are. And if you really take these scriptures to heart and start applying them to our lives, whoa, we'll even have more hardship because the enemy's really going to get mad at us. And like Kathy said, this whole week, I don't know about your week, and it's only Wednesday, I've had bombardment. I don't know what's going on, but there's lots of sickness. There's lots of stuff going on. What happened? It's almost like, yeah, that's right. So, and then I even hear it, complete this and bring it back and give it to me and show me that you did it. don't give it, but just show me, I'll give you a gift. That's how much I want you to have the Word of God. I love that. I'm telling you, I'm a kid's kid, and the King's kids, we should be happy. We should be going, even in times of trials, okay? So, amen? Sure. Oh, praise the Lord. What? Oh, that is great. A lady named Mary here, her daughter, asked for prayer, and she had liver cancer, and the test came back that all her organs are healed. They're all better. They're regular. So praise God for that. That's a testimony. We're overcomers by that as well. So share your testimony. Share it. Share it. Share it. And find that little treasure that's wherever. Whatever God's laid on your heart. Maybe it was a little dream that died. Maybe whatever. So, okay. So, Lord, I just praise you. Thank you for this time, Lord. I pray that this word would get down in our hearts, Lord, that you would show each one of us where you have us and what you would have us to be and do for you, that we would bring glory and honor to you in everything we say, everywhere we go, everything we do, Lord, that we would be mindful that you're with us, that we're mindful, Lord, that we are lights in a dark world. And even at this time, in this season, with the darkness that's coming at the end of the month, Lord, let us be a light standing, because light dispels the darkness. And we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, and by the word of our testimonies. So, Lord, give us boldness in this time. Give us a heart of love, and let us see people the way you see them. And help us, Lord, to see ourselves as you see us as well. Give us strength, God, to go forward. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So if you want one, I challenge you. It's a challenge. I know you'll like the gift too. So, and if you don't, I'll keep the gift. So it's a win-win for me. So here they are.